Hello, Jay, and welcome to our show, Code and Coffee. It's fantastic to have you with us today. As a renowned developer, particularly celebrated for your ability to simplify complex concepts, we're thrilled to dive into the topic of teaching Python to beginners. Let's set the stage for an enlightening conversation. To start off, could you share with us your approach to introducing the basics of Python, like data types, variables, and basic operations, to someone who has never programmed before?
Sure. So usually the best way to introduce students to data types in the variables and basic operations is, for example, to build like a calculator and perhaps even like a simple shopping cart. So there we can have like arrays as data types. We can have strings of the names of the products, and we can, of course, have floats or integers for the product prices and quantities. And then, of course, for operations, we can have multiplication and adding to get the total price and the total amount of product and so on.
That's a practical and relatable approach, Jay. Using everyday scenarios like a calculator or shopping cart makes it tangible for beginners. Moving on to the next phase, when students are comfortable with the basics, how do you introduce them to more complex control structures such as loops, conditionals, and functions in Python? What are some of the examples or exercises you use to illustrate these concepts?
Well, again, the shopping cart example could be used in this case for loops. As in the shopping cart, you might have multiple products. So you might have an array of products, and we have to loop through all of the products in the array. And then, of course, for conditionals, you might add extra features to the shopping cart, like maybe you can have products that have some extra fields in them. So then we can have different types of products. And if the product is, for example, a t-shirt that you can put a custom text into, then we can show that in the shopping cart loop where we're looping through all the products. If we encounter a product whose type is such that you have to input some text in it, then we have to show a different input for the user.
That continuation makes a lot of sense, Jay. Integrating the earlier concepts into more advanced ones helps reinforce the learning. It's clear that real-world examples play a big part in your teaching methodology. Now, as beginners progress, they often need to learn about libraries that extend Python's capabilities. Could you discuss how you introduce popular Python libraries like NumPy and Pandas for data manipulation? And what types of beginner-friendly projects or exercises you recommend for practicing with these libraries?
Well, I'm not really an expert with NumPy and Pandas because I don't do that much like data science stuff with Python. Those libraries are useful, for example, when you are working with Excel sheets and you want to read data from Excel sheets and then process it somehow. So that would probably be a good example for using Pandas and NumPy. So for example, searching through some products and their prices in an Excel sheet, and then maybe creating some sort of summary from them.
Absolutely, Jay. Working with Excel data is a common task, and leveraging libraries like Pandas to analyze and summarize spreadsheets is a powerful starting project. Perhaps we could build on that. What strategies do you suggest for beginners to effectively debug their code and solve problems in Python? Can you give any specific examples of common errors they might encounter and how they can learn to fix them?
Well, debugging, especially for beginners, might be just adding print statements to the places where you want to see if the code got already to that point. But of course, there are debuggers for Python that you can use even inside your IDE, like the code, for example. But one example for an error could be like index out of bounds error. So then I could show the student that you might want to use methods like get to get a key from a dictionary instead of directly referencing the key of the dictionary and checking the length of an array before actually using the square bracket syntax to reference a position in the array, because that might not exist.
That's an insightful approach, Jay. Simplified methods like using get for dictionaries and verifying the length of an array are great tips for avoiding common pitfalls. Emphasizing basic debugging techniques like printing out values is definitely a key skill for newcomers to adopt early on. As learners become more proficient in Python, how do you encourage them to undertake projects that inspire confidence and enhance their learning? Could you give an example of a beginner-level project that has been particularly effective for cementing Python concepts?
Well, when you get a little bit more advanced, or at least get some more knowledge on Python, perhaps creating like a web application with Flask, for example, would be a good idea to start with, because then you will have to learn a little bit about servers, that you have to run your own server with Python, and then how to do templating and this kind of stuff. So perhaps even that shopping cart example could be, again, used. But now we would actually make a website with a shopping cart.
Turning a simple console-based shopping cart into a web application using Flask is an excellent progression, Jay. This not only reinforces programming concepts, but also introduces beginners to web development, expands their knowledge of how the internet works, and gives them a taste of full-stack development. Before we wrap up, do you have any final tips or words of wisdom for beginners who might feel overwhelmed when starting to learn Python, or for educators who are developing educational modules for teaching Python? And with that, we'll be nearing the end of our insightful session.
Well, I would just encourage beginners to try out things and not be afraid to use things that they might not completely understand, and just try to change the code and see what happens. So that way you can learn how the changes in the code affect the result, because that is the only way you will learn, by trial and error. And I would also caution not to use too many AI tools in the beginning. Now, AI tools can be very helpful because they can predict what code you want to write next. But the problem with that is that you might not remember the exact syntax. So you are going to have problems in the future if you do it like that. I think it's a lot better when you actually know the syntax by heart, so that you can write code even without the help from AI. And of course, you will ultimately understand the code better that way.
Your emphasis on experimentation and understanding the core concepts without over-reliance on AI tools is a valuable takeaway, Jay. Indeed, there is no substitute for hands-on learning and memorizing the syntax through practice. Your advice will certainly help guide both beginners and educators on their journey with Python. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today. Your insights are sure to aid many as they embark on learning or teaching Python. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, and we wish you continued success in your endeavors as a developer and an educator. That concludes our interview for today. Have a great day ahead, and take care.